Okay, I think I will start because I'm actually about 30 seconds over time. So welcome to this session about giving permissions through stored procedures, how we can package a certain permission to do something more advanced in SQL Server inside a stored procedure. So before I go on, I'd like to extend a thanks to all the sponsors that are here and are making the tickets a lot cheaper than they would have been without them, and also makes the events more interesting because you can go and look at what they offer and the breaks. I like that. A little bit about myself. My name is Alan Sommerskog. I have been an MVP for SQL Server since 2001. When I don't play an MVP, I work as an independent consultant up in Stockholm, just north of the Baltic Sea. And I have a website, sommerskog.se, where you find a small collection of large articles. One of these articles is called Giving Permissions Through Stored Procedures, and this presentation is a concentrated version of that article. The article takes up more things that I don't find the time to go into here. And my email address is sql@sommerskog.sc. So, what is this about? So, I will make this question. A user has permission to run a procedure. Now, if this procedure is performing some action, does the user need permission to perform the action itself or not? Yes or no? What do you say? Good answer. You are an expert because you can say depends. I can tell. Yeah. So it is yes in some very common cases. It's so common that we might think, yeah, we can do everything. But the general answer is no, we can't do that. But we will learn in this session how we can make this statement to become true in general, but using some extra features in SQL Server. So here is a small agenda for today. I will talk first about ownership chaining, which is the basic mechanism which lures us to think that it always works. Then I will talk about certificate signing, which is the method we should use when ownership chaining does not go all the way. And then I will talk about the execute as clause, which is an alternate way to do the same thing, but which I think is inferior, but you might disagree. And that will lead us eventually to the dangers about making a database trustworthy. So, yeah, and also, yeah, before you don't have to take photos of anything, be nervous because you don't saw everything in the scripts, because all slides and scripts are on my website, sommerskog.se/present. And so you can find, because some of the scripts I will not show in detail or show at all, but they will still be there, they can be useful for you. So, ownership chaining. This has been in the product since, I believe, 1.0. I wasn't around then, but I would guess. And the idea is this. If there is a module of some sort, a procedure, a view, a function, a trigger, and it makes access to another object which has the same owner, there is no permission check performed at all. And this applies to plain DML, like select, insert, update, delete, and merge, also when you execute the procedures and functions. But it does not apply to if there is dynamic SQL in the procedure. It does not apply to metadata access, and it does not apply if you need special permissions like also. And I will take a look at this, and this is when I realize that I have not prepared enough. Sorry about this, folks. I like to do this with a mouse, and there's the button. Oh, sorry about that. Okay, so here is a little look at this in Management Studio. And the first thing now, I will walk you through the script and do, because this particular script will also set up the basis for that we will use for the rest of the presentation. So the first thing is just, move over to temp B and set no count on. I'll then go on and create a database called permtest, and I will make SA the owner of this database. I would like to say this is not best practice, but I will do it for now, and I will explain later why it's not good practice. And then I also create a user, test user, which has the password radio taxi. Yeah, it's completely successful. Yes, nothing happened. Okay. Then I will go and move over to that perm test, and I will create a user for that user in the database, a role called rock and roll, and I will add test user as a member of rock and roll. And then, next step is that I will create a view called token info. This view is for diagnostic purposes, so it does not. It will help us to see things, to understand things, what is going on. And I'm selecting three columns from a DMV called sys.userToken. And I will explain later on what actually they show you. So it's a name, type, usage. And I also include the output of the system functions original login, which tells us the user that actually logged in, and the system user, the current login on server level, and user, the current user on database level. And how they can be different, we will learn just in a few seconds. But before that, I will go on and create a perm table, a test table, which has an ID, it has a title column, and there is an auditing column called an entered by. And I will insert one row into that table with the title, Gestak is a Motnidom. Yeah, you might have heard that song, it's a very good song. So, and the next step is to create a procedure that just simply inserts a row into that table, and also first it selects the data from the token info for diagnostic purposes, and then inserts a row into that table, and then also returns all data that is in the table. And rock and roll gets the permission to run that procedure. So that was the setup. Now we're going to make the first test. And for this purpose, I will use execute as user. So I don't have this. So I'm playing test user from my window. So I don't have to open a second window to be test user. I can do that from my own window. That is very, very convenient. And I am test user down to this statement revert. Then I go back. And so test user goes on, and he's adding a row, Tvoja radio. And wait a minute, I did change this last night, or didn't I? Sorry about this. You will have to see it this way. Because if I run this again, that will be primary key violation. The token name here, we will look at this at the next one. Because I got the output to text from this session from yesterday. I thought I changed that. Anyway, so we can see there's one title, the two titles, and the first one was entered by DBO, and the second one was entered by test user. And the next thing we'll do here is I'm going to just show you exactly the concept of ownership chaining. So I create a user, different owner without login, because I only need this user in the database. And that's also convenient. If you want to play with permissions and just create the test user, you don't have to create a login. You can only create one without login. And I will make different owner of perm table for a short moment. And test user goes on and now tries to add the title Gwadni. But you see, the insert permission was denied, the select permission was denied. Because now there is a permission check performed, because the owners of the table and the procedure are different. And now for the output from the token info view. So you can see there are three tokens. Test user, public, and rock and roll. A user, a role, and role. And the usage is a grant or deny. So the permissions come from any of these users, but none of these tokens have any permissions at all here. So that's why this fails. And then we can see here that original login, present 10 summer/summer, that's me. And then we have test user and test user, that's the actual current user. So that's how they can be different, because I'm doing personation. So normally you have everything owned by DBO, and that's also one of the reasons you think that ownership chaining works. So I'm changing back the ownership to DBO, and test user make a new term to add Gwadni. This time it worked out. Now I'm changing the procedure a little bit. I'm adding a dynamic part, print dynamic part, and I run some dynamic SQL. Bad dynamic SQL. You can see this one is open to SQL injection. Okay, there's only 40 characters to do SQL injection, but yeah, the user could enter like apostrophe or single quote, shut down with no wait, and then two hyphens, and maybe it would shut down the server if run with enough permissions. So. And test user runs this. Now the title is Piesz Niepokorna. And you see the dynamic part, the select permission was denied on the object perm table, and so on. Yet the row was added. And the tokens are the same as before. But the reason this fails is that this dynamic SQL, this is actually a stored procedure of its own. It does not have a name, but we can think of it as a stored procedure. So, and it doesn't have a name, and it doesn't have an owner. So there is no ownership chaining. And then you might think, well, but that's stupid. No, it's not stupid, actually, because let's say that you'd actually been ownership chaining here. This means that, well, the user could have injected a command like, well, drop table, because he would have been running with the powers of DBO. So, next thing I would do is that I will add an option called reset to the procedure. And if that one is one, the user can truncate the table and start over. So I create this. Test user comes along, and this time the title is Shriad Odzaras. And he uses this reset option. But you see, there's an error message, cannot find the object perm table because this does not exist, or you do not have permissions. And, well, we did not even come to the select statement or anything. It stopped at that particular error. And this is because to truncate table, although it logically is the same thing as the delete, it requires auth permission. It's always been like that. Don't ask me why. Here's one that is a little more devilish, because we're thinking this sort of trying to be nice guys, and because maybe this perm table maybe does not exist at runtime. We don't know that. Maybe it will be deployed later. So we don't want an ugly message being splashed in the face of the user. So we check in if the table exists, and then we run the insert and select, or else we just print a friendly no table today. So we try that. And test user, now the title is Raitumi Toshida. And yeah, someone needs to save him because nothing got inserted. We can see over here, though, no table today. But wait a minute, it exists. But the reason for this is to run a thing like object ID, make the data access, ownership chaining does not cut it. The user needs to have at least a view definition on perm table. And this actually worked once upon a time way back in SQL 2000. But this is my thing. You might do this, and yeah, this will work, but it will not. So that was ownership chaining. Now let's talk about certificate signing, which is the method we can use to overcome the problems we saw on the previous demo. So first of all, I will just give you a recipe, and then you will be confused because there's a lot of new things. So the recipe is create a certificate. Sign the procedure with a certificate, create a user from the certificate, and grant that user the permissions needed. And that could actually be membership in a role. Now, that was a whole bunch of new things. So let's first talk about signing something with a certificate. What does that mean? That is nothing which is specific to SQL Server. No. So you can, for example, if you send a mail to someone, you can sign that with your private key. The public key is available on your website or wherever. So the one person that receives your mail can use that public key to verify that the signature matches. So you can, that receiver can know that the message has not been tampered with, or it was not sent by someone else who tried to play you. That is the general idea of signing with something with a certificate. We can verify that the content is the intended one. Now, what does that have to do with permissions in SQL Server? Well, I will talk about that in just a second, but I need to talk about this user first. This user, you could say it's a bit of a kludge, but because what it does is it connects the certificate with a permission, because you can't grant rights to a certificate. You have to create this user, but it's a special type of user. It cannot log in, it cannot be impersonated, and so on. You can only create one user per certificate. Now, the funny thing, the interesting thing is this. If the procedure has a valid signature, the token of the certificate user is added to sys.user token, just like it had been a role. And the net effect of this is that the permissions of the certificate user is added to the user's own permissions. Now, let's look at this in practice. So, I will first do the recipe and create a certificate. Create certificate demo cert, encryption by password. I need a password to protect the private key. And the password is Yolka Yolka Pamiętasz. And I also have to give a subject, which is, well, I didn't use the title of that one, it's just a text. You can create certificates in multiple ways. You can create a certificate, you can buy one from VeriSign or one of these big guys. And you can also protect the certificate with the database master key and all that. But for this particular purpose, you will always use it in this way. You have a password, and the subject is something you have to give. But you don't care about anything else. And this is called a self-signed certificate. So I create this. Next step is to sign the procedure. And I said, add signature to test SP, buy certificate demo cert, and I have to give the password to access the private key with password Yolka Yolka Pamientes. Before I go on, it might be good to find which procedure in my database have been signed. So I can run a select and the catalog view that starts with the sys.crypt properties, that's the one that holds the signatures. And I can join that to sys certificates to get the name of the certificate. It's using a column called thumbprint. The thumbprint is sort of a signature for the certificate. And then I also join to sys objects and sys schemas to get the name of the object. And I can see here that DBO test P is signed by demo cert, and then there's a bunch of columns, and to the far right is the signature itself, a block. Very exciting. So then step three, create the user. So create user demo cert user from certificate demo cert. So I do this. And we can look at this user here in sys database principles. And we can see it's down here. It's a demo cert user, principal ID 8, type desk certificate map user. And here is a column called authenticated authentication type desk and none. So no, it cannot log in. And finally, I grant this user select on perm table. Now let's go back to our test SP, and this is how it looked right now. We have this check, does the table exist or not? So, test user tries again. Venus Pievelzi is the title. And this time, it worked, the row was inserted. Because, and you see here, sys.user token, there's one more row now, demo cert user, user map to certificate, grant or deny, and this guy has select permission. So that's why test user now get past the check of the object. Meanwhile, the developer has been told that, yeah, it was good to put in this check, but the message is a little cryptic. No table today. What do you mean by that? So yeah, okay, the developer agrees, I'm gonna change this. So it says now, perm table has not been created yet. And test user now tries to add a title, Ostatnie Ogłoszenie. But the certificate is gone, and it says perm table has not been created yet. So what happened? Well, I have already told you, the signature must be valid. So if you change the contents, the signature no longer verifies. So the signature is no longer valid. As a matter of fact, SQL Server takes this one step further and removes the signature entirely, because it knows that it does not have any meaning. But if actually I would do something like go down and edit the procedure right in the system tables, you can do this with some special tricks out in the server and SignUse mode and all that. Yes, I've tested it, and if the signature is not valid, it doesn't work. So we have to sign it again. Add signature to test SP by certificate demo cert with password Yolka Yolka Pamiętasz. And now, Ostatnie Ogłoszenie makes it to the best of album or whatever this is. So let's see if we can use this for other things. We have now this version with the dynamic part. So I recreate that version, I sign it. And test user now, this the title is Memo Miasto na do widzenia. And now that worked. So this tells us that the token of the certificate user is not only applies to the procedure itself, but it also is carried on into the dynamic SQL, permitting us to package the permission to do the dynamic SQL within the procedure and grant exactly the permissions needed. Now, it turns out that our test user has been annoyed to boy recently, so we don't want him to meddle about this test table, so we're going to deny him select, explicitly deny, select, insert, update, delete on the table. And test user doesn't mind, he goes on, tries to insert matvimoja. The dynamic part, the select permission was denied. So this failed. However, matvimoja was still inserted because that's ownership chaining, deny is not going to help there. But over here now, up here, this guy has select, but test user has deny. deny takes precedence, so that in this case, the certificate did not help. But I would recommend you stay away from deny as long as you can, because it tends to cause some problems further on the way, when you actually want to create, give user permission, but he was denied by a role and so on. So I'm going to revoke the deny, bring things back to normal, and now I will create I would like to study more how the certificate, how it is carried on. So I would create a trigger on the perm table, and all it does is to return information from token info. I also create a new store procedure called inresp. All it does is to return information from token info. And then I will change the procedure. So now it returns information from token info. It runs SP help index, a system procedure. It runs the inner procedure, inserts a row into the perm table, which fires the trigger, and selects the data. And test user now, he tries to add Planeta Smoker. And he will succeed, but there is an error from SP help index. The object perm table does not exist, and so on. So the system procedure, it requires at least view definition, so that failed. But that was only to see how the system procedure worked before we signed, which I'm going to do now. And now the title, so test user tries again, now with the title Gigantic Tancho. And now, no error message at all, so SP help index worked, so we can tell that the token of the certificate was carried on into the system procedure. But we look here at inresp, token info, 1, 2, 3. Up here is 4, 1, 2, 3. And perm table, again, 1, 2, 3. So, when we come to enter a user-defined module, the certificate is removed. If we want the powers in the inner procedure or the trigger as well, we need to sign them too. But the good thing, that is not by default, is that, let's say the inner procedure would make an explicit check on permission. Does the user have permission to do this? He would not be lured by signing on the higher level. And then, yeah, the title was inserted down here. You can see this. And I'm just going to drop the trigger, because I don't need it for now. And I will return to the presentation. So, just to recap what we have seen. So, every time you change the procedure, you must sign it again. That might sound like a hassle, but it's actually a good point. Let's say you are the DBO, you own the database, and you have developers, and they write something. Every time they make a change, you can review that they're not breaking any rules. You're not giving them carte blanche to do things. And we saw this, the token and the permissions of the certificate user is carried on to things we cannot sign, like dynamic SQL and system procedures. But things we can sign, yes, no, it's not carried on there. We have to sign these as well. We can even do countersigning in some case, but I'm not going to talk about that. And keep in mind, deny always trumps grant. Now, let's take this to the next, no. We're going to talk about this as well. Yeah, how do we deal with all these certificates? Because we got a couple of these procedures, so you might think this might be a problem to handle this. First of all, my advice is this. Each procedure that needs special powers has its own certificate, and you grant exactly the permissions needed. So in case there is a whole Fresco injection or whatever, you limit the damage. It's always this good principle, don't grant more permissions needed than necessary. And then, if you trust developers, well, you would put this in deployment script, you can actually have, you have a store procedure that performs all the assigning business. You don't need this complicated syntax. You can package this. And if you trust your developers, and some people do trust their developers, well, you can have them in the deployment scripts. And then you might think, all these passwords, so this will be a nightmare to keep in mind. The password, you throw them away. And I will show you what I mean by that. So, I'm going to change the test procedure so it's this reset version again. It's the first thing I will do. And then I will show you the basic idea of how the throwaway password. So, I set up a password using a GUID, and then I add one lowercase letter because that might be needed to overcome the complexity rules in Windows, which checks that the password is okay. And then I create the certificate, and I'm using a convention here. I'm calling it $cert. I'm adding this. The dollar character doesn't mean anything It's just an identifier character. I could have used underscore if I wanted to. So I create the certificate, encryption my password with subject and so on. And then I say add signature to test this P by certificate test this P.assert with password equal asset password. I create the user. And then again, I use the same convention, test sp.assert user, so I can see that this user exists because of that procedure and so on, and grant that user the permissions needed. Also, I run this, and should have done that, and this results in a syntax error, because you cannot have a variable for the password, which sort of makes sense, because normally you want to know the password. So, that's why we need a procedure to package all this, and becomes quite a bit of dynamic SQL. And so I have a stored procedure to do this, and I've put this procedure in a separate schema because I'm thinking that maybe in the application we will grant execute on the DBO schema. So we put this in a side schema because users should not have access to this procedure. And then I also create a table type with a single column so there can be one row per permission. I create this, and then I have my procedure here that I will only show you the definition of, management.grant_perms_sp. It takes a procedure name, it takes a list of parameter, in this table variable parameter, and since I'm working with dynamic SQL, I have a debug parameter. Now, I'm not going to walk you through this procedure because this is just an exercise in dynamic SQL, so I will just create it, and you will then see the output, what it creates. So, then we need to give test user the permissions to be able to reset the table. So I declare my table variable of the table type, I'll add the permission, delete and perm table, that should work. And then I run this procedure to sign it. And we can see the output, create certificate, test as p.assert, encryption my password, and you can try to memorize that if you like, with subject and so on, add signature to test as p by certificate, with password, create the user, and grant delete. All nicely packaged for us. So test user tries to run this and add to my application, but he gets a permission error because, yeah, I had the wrong permission. Delete, no, I need alter. Well, the good thing with having the wrong permission is like I can demonstrate what happens if you run this again. So I'd run this, change this, add the permission this time, alter on perm table, and run the procedure again. And what it does is it drops the signature, it drops the user, drops the certificate, and creates a new certificate. It has the same name, but it is a new certificate with a new password and so on. The bits and the certificates are the same. So that's the beauty of it. We don't have to remember the password because we can always just drop everything and start over. And test user now runs again to add two more applications. And neat, that worked. This guy has altered, and the table is now empty except for this last title. And now we're going to take this to the next level, the server level. And first thing on server level, we just say that the stored procedure is in the master database, because then it's more or less the same as in the user database. We create a certificate in master, we sign the procedure, we create a login, that's a different thing, because you are on server level, then we need a login from that certificate. And we grant the login required permissions. But although it's called a login, it cannot log in, it's just the way things are named. It exists only to connect permissions and certificate. I can see this in sys.login token. That's the same thing as user token. So let's look at this. And I will do this with a scenario. First, I would like to describe that. So let's say we have a shared server, lots of different databases from different clients or departments or whatever. And there are so-called application admins. And they should be able to see which users that are connected to their database. But they must not see other users on the server. That could be, they could see competitors or anything, information they're absolutely not entitled to see. So how can we solve this? So, first thing I will do, I will move to master and create a server role called super users. Server roles, they were introduced in SQL 2012. And I will create a perm login called perm test super, with the password ragtime, tilde ragtime, yes. Alter server role super users, add a member perm test super. So I'm making that guy a member of super users. And then I will create a Login token info view, same thing as before, except now I'm going from syslogin token. And then I will create a procedure called sp show users in DB. Now it's called sp underscore and it resides in master. This has the effect, if I invoke this procedure from a user database, the procedure will actually execute in the context of that database. That's a quite nice feature with one small hiccup. It's not documented, it's not supported, it could break in any release. But I'm doing this for the purpose of this demo. So the first thing I do is I return in this login token info, and then I check, is the user a member of superusers or does he has controlled server permission, that is SA? And then in that case, I'll run this query, select star from sys.dmx sessions where database ID equals the current database. And if not, I'll make tell you, no, you don't belong here. Then you might wonder, why do I do make a permission check inside the procedure? Why do I not just simply grant permissions to the people who has the right to run this? Well, you don't grant permissions to server role, you grant permissions to database users. But the only database principle that normally is in the master database is public. So everyone can run this procedure. That's why you need the permission check inside. Okay, so I move over to perm test, and I can run this as myself first to test that it works. And you can first see I have a lot of tokens. I collect tokens. And you can see I can see a couple of sessions, 53, 54, 56, and so blah, blah, and so on. But this session over here is in a different database. Well, it's 52, I can tell you. I'm not going to zoom in on that. But so I just see the sessions to this database. And then I go and create a user for perm test super, makes it a member of DB owner, because that's a super user. And then I go and impersonate perm test super. Since I'm now playing on server level, I use execute as login. Generally, if you want to impersonate a real user, use execute as login, because execute as user has some limitations we will see later. But it's execute as user is good if you just create a user without login and only place things in the database. Well, so perm test super runs runs the procedure, but he only sees his own row. Because to use this DMV, sys.dmxx sessions, you need view server state to see all users, else you only see your own. And many other DMVs, they require view server state from the start. So that's when we use certificates. So I move back to master and I create a certificate, demo server cert. The password is nitnibole takyak shirchen, with the subject and full signing and so on. Do that. And say add signature to SP show users in DB, buy certificates, demo server cert, with password nitnibole takyak shirchen. And then I say create login demo server cert from login from certificate demo server cert. So, and we can look at this guy in sys server principles. And you can see here, it's on the top, it's a certificate mapped login. And again, it's not a login that can login. And there's no column to show prove this, so you have to believe me. And then I grant this guy view server state. And then I go run this again as perm to super. And now he sees all sessions to his database. Nice. But let's say now we actually want to do this, have this procedure in the user database. Now things become a little more complex because there are more steps. We have to create the certificate in master, create a login, grant the permissions. Then we need to export the certificate, move over to the user database, and import it, sign the procedure. And optionally, we can drop the private key. Now, so this steps 4 to 6. How do we do these, export and import? And there's two ways to do them. You can, in all versions from SQL 2005 and up, if you're still in SQL 2000, sorry, there are no certificates. But you can use backup certificates, which will create a copy of the certificate on disk, and then you can say create certificate from file. And then you must at some point remember to delete the file, because next time else backup will fail if you back up to the same location. In SQL 2012 and later, it's slightly easier because you can use a built-in function and say create certificate from binary so you don't have to bounce off a disk. And we will look at both of these versions, starting with the backup certificate command. So I say backup certificate to file ctemp demo server cert.cr. And then with private key, fire, private key, demonsimusofassert.pvk. And I have to give the password to access the private key, nitsimboletakyakzhichi. And I have to give a password to protect it in the file. I could have selected a different password here, and it's not that I'm running out of titles, but it's simply that it's less confusing if I don't. And I need to do this. And then I move over to the permtest database, and I say create certificate, daemon server cert from file, with private key, from file, and I have to give the password to get it from the file, to access it, and a new password to protect it in this database. And again, I could have used a third password if I wanted to, but I did not. And then I just go and delete it from the file, from disk, so it might, if I do this presentation again, it doesn't fail because the certificate is already there. And then also, while I'm at it, I'm creating this login token in from view in the permtest database as well to make things easier. And then I have this procedure show sessions. It's the same thing as before, but I had a problem. I had to open a case with CSS, and they found out what I was doing and tell me, don't do this. So, oh yeah, okay, I will put this one in each user database. But it's the same contents. I'm still making the permission check as I did before. And I signed it with the password, nitsnibolatakyakzhichi. And permtest super tries to run this. And it works well. He sees all sessions. So, and then I will drop the signature for now, because I'm going to demonstrate the other way to do this. Oops. Sorry about that. Okay, move over to master. And then I declare a variable, var_max, public key, and I get the key with cert encoded. It's the function to get the public key, and I have, it takes as an argument the ID of the certificate, which I can retrieve with the function certID. And then I retrieve the private key with a function called certPrivateKey. Also takes the ID of the certificate. And again, I have to give the password to access it. And I have to give a password to protect it inside the variable in case I would write it to a file or whatever. I move over to the permtest database. I say create certificate from binary equals private key with private key binary equals private key and so on. And password to access it, password to protect it. Nice, I run this, and there is a syntax error. Incorrect syntax near public key. Because, no, you cannot have a variable here. And with the password, that makes sense. This makes less sense. I think the only excuse they have is that they were short on time for this feature, so they, we don't have the time to do the variable. We leave that to the users, because you have to use the dynamic SQL, so it's kind of pointless. So, yes, we have to use the dynamic SQL. So I do the same thing again, but I added a variable called SQL and Wacomax. I have a select statement here to return the private keys in case something goes wrong. I can see which key did I not access. And then I build the same thing from dynamic SQL. I print it, of course, always print. When you build work with dynamic SQL, always print the output so you know what you're doing. And then I run this dynamic SQL through SPS execute SQL in permtest. So it runs in the context of permtest that way. And you can see the command there. And I move over to permtest. I signed it. And then I drop the private key. What is the point with that? Well, this permtest super was looking over my shoulder. Ah, I know that song. That's a good title. I remember that. I want to use that on my own. No, you're not, because I've dropped the private key. He cannot use this certificate for signing again. Nevertheless, the certificate is good for validations. The permtest super sees all of it. Now, one more level up, availability groups. Now, there are no permissions on availability groups, but if you have a database in availability group and you do this thing, you want the thing to work, the permissions to work, even after a failover. So you need to have the certificate, login, and permissions must exist on all nodes in the AG. Now you're thinking, oh, that's a big hassle. I'm never going to do that. No, don't worry. I have a script for you. That creates login, grants the permissions in master, exports the certificate to the user database, and signs the procedure. And if there is an AG, the database is an AG, it will set a loop over all nodes in the AG, set up a temporary linked server, and run the commands in the master database of all nodes in the AG. All you need to specify is the database, the procedure, and the permissions. And I will just show you the beginning of this script. So here you say database name, perm test, proc name, show sessions, perms, and this time I did not use a table variable parameter, just a list, view service state. Now there's a debug parameter. When you run this, you will see all the commands, and if it's an AG, it will print on which node it was printed, and so on. And the reason this is a script and not just a procedure is that you might want to run this on different servers, so it's better just to have it in a file and just run it when you need it. The only time you would play inside it is if there are some limitations that I haven't covered up. Then you will need to work with it. It's a lot of dynamic SQL, which is not the topic for today, so I'm not going to show you the rest. Instead, I will move over to execute as and database permissions. Execute as is a different way to achieve the same thing. And the proper version of execute as is to you create a proxy user without login, and you have what? And you should give it a name that ties it to the procedure it comes from. And you grant that user the permissions needed. You want a package with the procedure. And then you add this clause with execute as at, well, sbname $proxy. And you put everything of this in the same file as the procedure. And then there's a lazy version. You just say with execute as owner, that's all you need to do. So let's look at this. And the first thing I will do is I will create a procedure called test2sp, which is actually the same procedure as before, but I just want to make sure we don't have any certificates. So we have the token info, and this is the version with the dynamic part. And rock and roll gets the permission to run this guy. And just as a reminder, a test user tries to run this with Jakarta, is the title. And yeah. But he gets this error message. The title is inserted, but he gets the error message. The select permission was denied, and so on. So that's when we add this proxy user. So I would say create test2sp$proxy without login, and then grant this guy select. In a recreate procedure, adding this line with execute as test2sp$proxy with the dynamic part. And now test user tries to add Mokriochi, which worked out fine. But we can see now how the tokens are different. We only see test2sp$proxy and public, no sign of test user. And right out to the right here, this is a SID because it's a user without login, and the current user is test2sp$proxy. And you can also see this in the table. Tomoyapieshn, Jesedekta was added by test user, but Mokriochi came from test2sp$proxy. Because this is not signing, this is impersonation. It's not that we are just adding this guy, we are John Malkovich. Now let's see what happens if we add this trigger again. So I'm going to add the trigger that returns information from the token info, and this is the version that did SP help index and runs the inresp and so on. Again, with test2sp$sp proxy and so on, execute as. So test user, this time it runs this with Balfischke-Schwentich. And, well, that worked. The permissions of test2sp$proxy was transferred into SP help index. But we can see here, inresp. No, things did not bounce back. It's still test2sp$proxy who's running this. It's still test2sp.sp that's running the trigger. So this one extends a lot more further. It just goes on all the way down. And here we have the lazy version. So this is the version with the reset. And they also say, with execute as owner, don't have to grant any permissions because execute as owner is DBO. Who has the power to do everything in the database? So I run this. And test user runs this to add Zdalekish Viprov. The table is empty again, only one row, entered by DBO. And we can see now the tokens were DBO, public, DB owner. And system user is SA, because that's the owner of the database. And yeah, if you might wonder, can I see which procedures that has these execute as clause? And yes, you can, because that's a simple column in the catalog view called sys.sql modules. So you can simply select for the ones that has execute as principle is not null. And then if it's minus two, then is by owner. Else is the actual user. So I can run this and see test2sp has execute as owner. Well, so what did we see here? Well, you might say to yourself, that was a lot simpler than certificates. I'm going to use that. Now, first of all, it's simpler, but keep in mind. First of all, the lazy version breaks the principle of granting minimum permissions. Now, let's say you would use the with the executor's own of that part of dynamic SQL. That would permit the user to, well, delete any table in the database because he's running as DBO. Also, quite important, it breaks schemes for row-level security and auditing based on system use and use and so on. So if you have check on that, those things will break. And that could have quite bad consequences. You can't no longer trace who did which update, or data from views based on row-level security is no longer going to return the right results. Now, these are things that can be mitigated because you can use original login instead, or you can use something based on context info or session context. But the important thing, it requires that you plan ahead and design for it so you can use executors. If at this point you get a little nervous, wait a minute, our systems use a system user, and you say, it's not going to work for us. Well, that you can add a DDL trigger to outlaw this in your database. I'm not going to show you, but it's down here. I've written a DDL trigger that you can use that will just say, no, this is not permitted here. But let's say you listen to me, but no, I don't care about that. It was very simple. And I want to use this for server level as well because it was a lot simpler than certificates. So I think if I want to use this on server level, okay, I guess I create a proxy login, grant permissions, and add it with executors, and then off I go. Well, okay, let's try that. So I go to use master and I create login called show sessions 2.x proxy, which has the password NoaVersionBubble. And I disable that login because it's only proxy login, it should not be able to log in. And I grant this guy view server state. And then I rewrite my procedure, show sessions 2, it's going to be called. Yes, I create a user for the proxy as well in the database. So, and I put in this clause here, I should make a new line. We had some problems with getting the resolution of the projector correct, so that's why it's a little more narrow than I had planned. So, I have this, and I return the information from the login token info. Now, it turns out here that we need to do some extra step, because since we are show sessions 2.proxy, we already have use service state. We need to see, does the caller have the permission to do this? So we, and then we can do execute as caller to revert back to the original context and make the check. So here, it actually things become a little more complex. And then we do the same thing as before, select the information or raise an error. And I try to run this as myself, and all I see is my own login. I'm going to run this again so we get the grid view. I only see my own session, and I'm SA. I get all powers on the machine. But if we look here at the tokens, show sessions 2.proxy and public, but the usage is deny only, meaning that they're no longer good for checking permissions for grant. Deny permissions will be checked, but nothing for logins. So that did not work out. And why? Well, so this execute as clause in this procedure impersonates a database user. And when you impersonate a database user, you are sandboxed in to the current database, and you cannot access things outside that database unless two doors are open. So you need first to open a door to get out of the database by making the database trustworthy. And then you need to open the next door to get in where you want to go, and that is the database owner must be granted the permissions authenticate server. And since SA owns this database, that door was already open. So then it's easy. You should just make the database trustworthy. So let's do that. Make the database trustworthy, yes, I should do this. And I run this myself. Ah, good. Now we have, it says grant or deny. And there is a third token from SA, authenticator. This guy vouches for the other ones, and he has been trusted to do that. That's why it works. And we can see out here on the right, yes, it shows sessions 2.proxy and so on. And we see a bunch of sessions. And perm to super runs this. And also, he also sees all sessions. So yes, this seemed to be simple. It was just making database trustworthy. That's for, what did he talk all that about case match certificates? Well, trustworthy is a security risk. This is absolutely nothing you should use. First of all, keep in mind, when you have certificate signing, particularly on server level, the DBA can request to review the code every time before signing it. Every time the application admins, I want to change this procedure. Okay, the DBA says, I want to see it first. With execute as and trustworthy, you give him a carte blanche. He can do all changes. He can just now go, the application permitted super can go in and change the procedure and remove the filter on database ID and see all users on the server, a thing that was entirely unacceptable. So that is definitely not meeting the requirements we had. But that's not all. Red alert. And for this window, I will not do execute as login. I will actually log in just to demonstrate how serious this is. Buzz, perm test super with the password ragtime. So first thing I'm doing, I'm just returning information in login, token info, adding a check. Am I sysadmin? Nope, I'm not sysadmin, but we can see here, well, I'm perm test super. I'm perm test super all the way along because I logged in as perm test super. And a member of public and a member of super users, and those are server roles. I forgot to show you that, but you also see the certificates when we do the signing. Forgot to do that part. You also see the certificate login and the certificate itself for some reason. Anyway, so perm to super now goes execute as users as DBO. Because he can do that. He's a DB owner, so he can impersonate any user in that database. Because in the database, he has permissions to do everything. So he runs this. Is sysadmin. I own this server. Great. Token name, SA, public, sysadmin. Well, that all my tokens. Perm test super, yes. But system user says SA, DB user says DBO. So if things are audited by system user, SA gets the blame. And yes, SA is vouching for him. Yeah, he's trusted to vouch for the people in this database. And just to show that this is not a joke, I'll run it. SPConfigure requires sysadmin. Yeah, I could do that. Although I was not supposed to. Well, I told you earlier that having SA as the owner of the database is not good practice. The best practice, in my opinion, is that each database should be owned by an SQL login, which exists solely to own that database and which has been granted no permissions at all. So I will log in as myself. And create. And create one of these random passwords. Create the login with that password because I don't want anyone to know this password and I disable this owner. And I make that perm test owner of the database. Again, I just use that $character as a convention. And again, I'll log in as perm test super. So, and he plays the DBO trick again. And he's not sysadmin. He is, well, perm test owner. Perm test owner and deny only as well, because perm test owner is not trusted to authenticate for voucher's users. Good. However, when I run this, show sessions 2, he only sees his own database. So it did not really cut it. We may be, we have this permission. Yeah, grant authenticate server. Okay, should I do this? Oh, well, let's try that. So I go on, log in as myself, grant authentication, authenticate server to perm test owner. And perm test, need to log in as that guy again. He runs show sessions 2. Oh yes, he sees all sessions, good. And now he plays the DBO trick again. It's not sysadmin again. So it seems that we have tightened that. Oh, that's great, we'll figure that out. But wait a minute, what's happening now? He's creating a user for me in his database? Well, he can do that, I guess, because he has the permissions. And then he goes on and impersonates me what should that be? Oh, he says admin again. So that's the big, big problem, big risk with trustworthy. If the database is made trustworthy and the database owner has authenticate server, any person in that database who has the right to create impersonate users can elevate his rights to sysadmin. That's a big, big thing to watch out for. So, a little more about this. So first of all, the recommendation is that each database should be owned by an SQL agent which exists only to own that database. The exception from that rule might be if you have an application that uses multiple databases, then it makes sense that they have the same owner. The point with this is that now if you just make the database trustworthy because the developer says, it must be trustworthy, it still won't work. And then you would say, wait a minute, I need also grant permission. Wait a minute, that's probably not right. I should probably not do this. So it gives you a second chance to think. All this said, there is actually one situation where it's okay to open both doors, make the database trustworthy, and grant the database owner authenticate server. And that is if everyone in that database who has the right to create users and so on already are sysadmin, because maybe it's a one-tier database since it's only that server exists only for that database. In that case, well, it's okay. And if you are sure it will always remain that way. I mean, you might bring in a consultant for performance tuning that you may, you give him DB owner and you give him like view service state and all the trace. But you don't want him to create login. So think twice at least before you make it trustworthy, or thrice, or fourth times. Okay, just a quick recap of what we talked about. Ownership chaining, so that's the basic mechanism, what you use 95% of the time for plain and simple DML. But it does not work with the dynamic SQL. It does not work with advanced permissions. It does not work with metadata and not for server-level permissions. We have certificate signing, which permits you to grant about any database or server-level permission through the procedures in a very fine-grained way. But you cannot overcome denial. That's the one restriction. And it seems to be a bit of a hassle. It's a bit complex, but you can organize with organizations, throw away passwords, scripts, and some procedures. It's not a big deal. It's the preferred method for database permissions. And always use this if you need to do this with server-level permissions. Xcute asks, it's good for the lazy and casual. I can't be denied. It has implications for auditing and role-level security, so you need to plan ahead. You need to design to permit this. I can't say I like it, but I would say still it's okay for database permissions or if you need to overcome and deny. It's okay. But for server-level permissions, always use certificates because there is no way out. Oh, yeah, if you paid attention, there were songs from all Butker Sphere albums except for these two, because these are the two ones I don't have. So if you happen to have these in digital formats, please just get in touch with me. So just drop me a line. Here's my email address. You can drop me a line. So that's all for today. I would like to point out again that slides and scripts are over here. And this, someone's go to e/present. And here's the URL for the full article. If you do this on your own, play the script, down here is a link to a script that cleans up everything that was created during the demos. And be aware of trustworthy. Again, thanks to all sponsors. And if you have questions, please, we have, about 30 seconds or something like that. But that's a question. Great.
With the throwaway passwords, they say that we can basically skip saving any password to the source code, the code in a source control?
Yeah, because you create the certificate, you sign the procedure, then you don't need it anymore. So you can just create a grid on the fly. You don't have to put the password in this case context in source control, no. Because the less, and also I could say you could actually always drop the private key to make it even more secure. Well, anything more? Thank you very much.